I'd like to share a little thought. I would look into the book of Ezekiel, the 40th chapter. And I'll start reading at the first verse. It says, "In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me hither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel." Now, when you read the next few chapters, he goes through and he measures the house. There was given to him a measuring reed. And he went through and measured the house, and I didn't get a whole lot out of those chapters. But I did get this, that it was consistent, it looked uniform, it looked like there was balance. Those things came to my mind. I didn't look up all the measurements and study all that out. But he told him to measure the house. We drop down to Ezekiel 43rd chapter and the 10th verse. It says, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel,
yes,
that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and the ordinance thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house." Now he mentions this twice, the law of the house, most holy, and I think that's something we always need to keep in the back of our mind, that God desires a holy house, a holy place, a holy sanctuary. He wants it to be something, and holiness is set apart. Holiness is being separated from all the from the world and the defilements of darkness and evil. And so he measured the house, and he said the law of the house was holy. Going on to, I'm not really a builder. I've done a little bit of building, but I enjoy things to build with. I enjoy measuring tapes. I enjoy plumb lines. I enjoy laser levels. It gives you a mark what to start with, and I believe that's what he was doing here. He had something to measure with. There was a standard there that he was able to measure things by. I want to go to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. And remember, this is such a blessing because these folks were in captivity. And God had a plan for them to return. And he was giving them the pattern. He said, I want you to To me, that's good how the Lord, and even before they went into captivity, He said He was going to bring them out back again, back to their home place. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter, He says, in the first verse, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word."
Yes, amen.
Now, the Lord of Lords that fills heaven and earth, He condescended to dwell in the tabernacle at first among men. Later they built a temple. But the God of heaven filled the temple. The glory of the Lord came down. He wanted to dwell among men. He wanted to be with people. And I believe His heart yearned for the time of the new covenant, when the new covenant would come. But they built Him a house, and God dwelt in it, and He wanted, and He calls it the place of His rest. It's a place where God, He found, you know what a home, do you like your home? I'll ask you. It's a place where you rest. It's a place where you eat. It's a place where you worship the Lord. It's a place out of the storm, out of the cold, out of the winter. It's a shelter. We were on the way to service this morning, and Mom piped up and she said, "Oh, I just love my house." And she said, "You know, we were so poor, I thought I was just going to live in an old house when I got old. I was going to just have an old house." And I said, "Well, the Lord's been good to you, hasn't He? He's done far above what you ever expected." But that's a picture of what God wants us to have. That's a picture. We have a spiritual house that we're working on. We're wanting to build a spiritual house that is something that's going to be able to be a blessing to us, a source of protection, a source of blessing, not only to us, but to those around us. I was singing a song, seemed like the Lord brought to my mind. I hadn't heard it in a long time. But it says, "Prepare me a sanctuary."
Yes.
Prepare me a sanctuary, true, pure and holy, tried and true. You know, it's a dwelling place of God. And God wants to dwell in our sanctuaries. He wants to dwell in our house. He wants to live among us. The Septuagint on this verse, it says, "What kind of house will ye build me?" This scripture, He said, "Where is the house that you build me?" But the Septuagint says, "What kind of house will you build unto me?" And I believe the Lord is concerned about His house. We want to measure the pattern of the Scriptures. We want to follow the Scriptures to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our understanding, because that's what God desires. And the Lord has given patterns. He gave a pattern to Moses for the tabernacle, and He gave him instructions. He said, "Build it according to the pattern. Follow the pattern." He told Noah when He gave him, He said, "Build it to the pattern, the directions that I give you." And so we have been given patterns. It's just wonderful how we have computers nowadays that are able to draw and do different things. things and have dimensions and a design, and then we're able to go through and make it. And I thank the Lord for all the things that He's given us, the trees, the wood, the minerals of the soil that we can do things with. We can build things. We can make things. We can make shelters. He's given us a mind. We can use it. We can plan and design and go to work and build shelters and homes and things that will be a blessing to us and our families and a help to us in the physical, world. I remember one time we were in Portland. We took our children to the Science Museum, and I don't remember the name of it. We went to Burger King. We were pretty big fans of the Dollar Whoppers back in those days. But I overheard two guys talking, an older guy and a younger guy, and they were talking about where they were going to stay night at. And they were talking about they didn't have a home. And the older one was telling him, "No, you don't want to sleep there. It's going to be too breezy tonight." And it was just a whole language. It was a whole mentality, a whole... I had a home to go to. I had a place to get out of the wind, to get out of the storm. You know, we're human. We have to. We can't endure zero temperatures. We're not built with fur. We have to have shelters. We've got to have places of refuge to be able to go into. But they didn't have any place. And they were trying to figure out the knowledge that they had was just a totally different level on what I was used to hearing. And I went away just kind of appalled and shocked that people actually were living that way.
Yes.
In Matthew 7:24, he says... See if we can get that. Matthew 7. In the 24th verse, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This is a sad, that last part was a sad. We don't want to be a foolish builder. We want to be a wise builder. We want to measure the patterns that God has given us. We want to pray for understanding that we have an honest heart that's able to rightly divide and rightly to see the directions that God has given to us. But you know, there are storms that are going to try our building, our house. We just, I'll tell a little bit. I told Sister Maxine the other day. She came up to Enid on our fourth Sunday. And afterwards, she said, "I'm praying for you, and we're praying that the Lord will blow upon you." Well, I thought in my mind, Sister Maxine, this don't sound too good. The scripture came to my mind that said, the Lord said, "You gather in and I'm going to blow on it." That's what came to my mind, and she said, "I'm praying the Lord will blow." The Lord's been blowing. I about lost half of my rafters. We were putting rafters up. Friday afternoon, the wind kicked in and started blowing, and I was trying to hold my ladder down, trying to hold the nail gun, trying to do the bracing to brace it. And it was creaking and crackling, and I was concerned that was going to come down. The storms are going to try our house.
Yes.
The storms of life. The wind's going to blow. And the floods are going to happen. But I'm thankful that the Lord can help us to build something. We got a little reprieve. And so Leah and I went through all my rafters were leaning towards the north because the wind was out of the south. And so we had to take all the bracing off and try to line them up. We had a little preve and Leah helped me. We got that done. And then lo and behold, the wind has been blowing and blowing and blowing it out of the south, out of the north direction. But it's still been good for me. The wind has been, it was just a good time for me and the Lord. I'll say that. But I'm ready for a change of prayer. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians 3, about the 9th verse, it says, "We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You know, I think about how there's one place that talked about seeing we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. The kingdom of God it's solid. It's something that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It's something that we can build our lives on. You read the description of the city in Revelation, it had 12 foundations. It's not going anywhere. It's a permanent dwelling. And we can be a part of that as we yield ourselves to Christ, as we follow His commandments. We follow His teachings. We can be a part and have that building that's going to last and be there. Philip Kelly, we redid the parking lot there in Enid. It had cracks. The first time they poured it, there was no rebar in the parking lot. And they had a big concrete truck come in and emptied the trash. And the driveway is all It was all cracked up, and so we started redoing the concrete. We got a deal, and we started digging out the old concrete and putting new in. But later, Philip Kelly told me, he said, Brother Bob likes cement and rebar. I just like for things to be solid. I don't want, in the houses that I've built, I'm building one now, but I invested in the foundation, in the footing.
Yes.
It's more than what most people do. I didn't go way overboard, but it's most than what people do, and people have told me that, but I don't want it moved. I thought about Sister Maxine. She mentioned to me too in conversation. She said when they were building their house, she said she called the city of Edmond and she wanted the toughest inspector to come out to inspect their home. Well, I haven't had always a good rapport with inspectors. So that wasn't relating, but I began to think about, this is her house. And I believe Matthew was building it, or Matthew's crew. So the inspector came out, and she took him around, and she would point out different places and said, what about this? What's this look like? He said, that's okay. That passes. That's all right. And she took him to another place. And what about that? That passes inspection. Did he have anything that didn't pass?
No, he complimented it. He said, this is a good job.
A good job.
But it was a house made with hands.
Yes. You know, we have a tough inspector. And that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is faithful. If we have an honest heart and we want to live for God and serve Him, the Holy Spirit will speak to us when something's not passing inspection. Or when we're getting close to something that's not going to pass inspection.
True.
The scripture says when you turn to the right or you turn to the left, there's going to be a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it.
Yes, amen.
The Holy Spirit is a faithful teacher.
Yes, He is.
If we'll listen to what He has to say, if we'll invite Him, if we'll take time to seek His presence out.
Yes.
He'll help us to know. And He'll help us to be able to have something that will be, that passes inspection.
Yes.
I want us, you know, if we go through a storm and our house is damaged, things, get damaged, it's not a time to give up, get discouraged, but it's a time to go back and rebuild.
Yes.
The devil would like for you to throw your hands up and quit, get discouraged, get despondent on building your house. But it's something that we're going to be working on between now and the time that we leave this world.
Yes.
Our spiritual house. You know, you think sometimes I'm slow and don't have a lot of money, so I do most of the stuff myself. And it takes me a long time to build a house. I know some people just go through it really quickly. But on our spiritual house, Lord, give us wisdom.
Yes, amen.
To be a wise master builder. Help us to be careful in our measurements. Help us to be careful in being able to not find the way of least resistance or the way of the easiest way, you might say, but help us to find the way of the Lord and how He wants us to build. And I believe today our house will be tried by the storms of life. I believe we're living close to the end of time.
Yes.
I believe we're going to start feeling there's going to be some greater forces coming against the house of God, our house. There's going to be some things in front of us that it's going to be very important of how now, how we're going to stabilize things, how we're going to secure things by the power of God. It's not us, it's God. It's God in us. But the Lord wants us to be a wise builder. I know there's some things that's going to be facing us. It's going to try our house. And we want something that's going to be able to go through and stand the test and the things that are in front of us. But God is able to make it stand. And Jesus said the storms beat and the winds blew upon that house. He said, but it stood because it was founded upon the rock. And I believe today I want us to be encouraged that we can, by the grace of God, build a life. You know, it's we're a temple of God, but it's also the scriptures talk about us being the house of God. We're it's not just me, it's not just you in our little isolated places, but it's us together is a house. We're the family of God. We're His house. And it's very, and those things that we like about our temporal house, the place of rest, the quietness. You know, when you're sick, there's no place like home. And I'm that way anyway. I used to help the Gillenbecks with their install, but I really didn't care to get on the plane. It was always a drudgery to me to get on those planes, drag your toolboxes through the airport. After a while, all the food just tastes the same. My heart was at home.
Yes.
Lord, help us today that our heart would be in our home,
yes,
in our building, in God's house. And I believe the Lord will bless us. There's nothing, you know, that what we read there in Ezekiel, He said, He took me up into a high mountain. There is nothing like God's house in this world.
Yes.
If you get a vision of what God, the beauty of what God has provided, the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, everything that the Lord and how He works in the lives of His people, how He changes hearts, how He helps people to become different, how He helps them to grow in the grace of God. There is nothing like the house of God. I don't know in heaven. I loved the study of the temple. I enjoyed the Holy of Holies. I enjoyed, sometimes I think maybe there's kind of a big replica in heaven that we could, I don't know, but I just, it's special. I guess being in the presence of God, the temple's really not going to be anything. We'll be in the temple with in heaven. But we want to make heaven our home today. We want to be faithful to God. And Lord, help us to be a wise master builder.
Amen.
That we would be prayerful and careful with our lives and how we serve God. Pray for me.